Time to catch up on Kennedy Malloy. And time you checked out the new Series 2 HSV Sports Cat with sport suspension, anti-roll bar and AP racing brakes. Play hard. Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Hello, people, and welcome to the big Wednesday edition of Kennedy Malloy. Hello, Jane Kennedy.
Is it Wednesday already,
Mick Malloy? It's Wednesday, hump day. Hello, Dangerous Dave.
Hello.
Have we got the goods for you today? Is it that time already? Are we interviewing The Bachelor?
Yes.
Has it come round quickly?
I have a very good feeling about this Bachelor.
You had a good feeling about the honey badger.
I did, and I was wrong. But I feel good about Matt Agnew, who is the new Bachelor at Song tonight.
Is some kind of Stephen Hawking
astrophysicist.
Yeah.
Oh, Mick, yes.
Pardon me, you mentioned.
Well, we'll be able to communicate. You might struggle.
Has he done? He's probably done one online course.
Oh, I don't think so.
I think it's a bit more than that. Just believe what you want to believe.
Oh, sure.
I'll ask Osha.
You'll ask Osha.
Oh, I will. Hey, we've got some royal news. We've got some music news. There's some big music news.
Oh, yes.
Katy Perry could have been thrown under the bus.
Well, this is with her Dark Horse song. We're going to get to the bottom of it, and it's a very unusual song that's claiming it may have had it first,
the idea for it. So there'll be plenty going on.
And Tim Farris, he lost a finger, and that's hard when you're an amazing guitarist like he is in NXS, and we've got some
legal news, I would have thought.
Oh, right.
Hey, George Columbus on 7:30 tonight.
This is very interesting to me.
Yes, it is.
Very interesting. We'll get to this because I found it an interesting choice of show.
Okay, we'll discuss that.
Just saying.
What? Stand by.
All right.
We're going to open up on that topic. Which side of the bed do you sleep on?
Any side. I'm so tired by the time I get to bed. Just give me a bed.
Starfish for me.
Oh, that'd be right.
Starfish.
Yeah. That'd be right.
How are you going on the temper?
All right. Beautiful. Oh. There goes
and
up,
we've
there
got
goes down.
An all-time great cricketer, a guy I love.
On the eve of the Ashes.
Likeable, funny man, too.
Here we go.
We've got Adam Gilchrist.
He's an absolute ripper.
Coming on the show. That'd be great.
He could be The Bachelor.
Gilly. I don't think so. I'm pretty sure Gilly's got a happy family.
He's married kids, but just go on and test the waters.
I don't think that's how it works, Mick.
Might open a few doors.
Okay.
We'll take your calls. We'll take your tweets. So much to get through.
Why don't you go on The Bachelor?
Well, do you know what?
Do you know what they just don't ask?
Do you know why?
Why would they do that?
Because it would be like seagulls squabbling over a chip.
The girls wouldn't
know how to behave.
No, that's right. You can't have any police
records.
You've
got a really high opinion of yourself.
They'd be panting.
No, you can't do it.
Yes, they would.
No, they do a lot of research. They don't want anyone who's,
got a record.
Dubious.
They do a background check, do they?
Dubious.
Hey, now, listen. Now, we're sitting here doing a sweep because we just realised we had a Bachelor sweep last year.
Yes.
But we never, it was never won because the honey badger never picked anyone.
Because he had no idea how to play the game of The Bachelor,
mate. How's that? Remember there's a raft of shows. It was like Ninja and Badger.
They never win the season.
Mm. You know, there's no winner.
Even Ninja, they say they had a winner, but he still never did the, there's Tower of
Oh,
blah,
no
blah.
Kidding.
No, he didn't do it. He got the fastest time again.
What a joke.
I'm pretty sure that's what happened. Someone will ring up and correct me, but I don't think he did the final.
What are you looking for from your Bachelor?
The final countdown.
What's your?
I'm looking for.
Oh, so he didn't pick one. This Bachelor should get two.
Two for one.
Two for one because we've got a spare.
Well,
from last season.
We'll talk about it a bit. Do you want to know who you've got in the sweep? You've got Jesse and Keely.
Mm.
Keely's 27.
Jesse's a bit of a plain Jane.
Can you please not use that expression?
It's offensive
to it's offensive to Jane in the world.
What do you mean? She might be listening.
She might be listening and hearing you say that.
She's put herself on TV to be judged.
But you don't want to be known as the plain Jane.
And please stop saying plain Jane, will you? It's really offensive.
Even by Jane standards, she's plain.
Hey, I have got.
Who's the other one?
You've got Keely.
Hello, Keely.
Oh,
don't
creepy
do that.
Old man
Yuck.
Voice there.
I don't know. I can't even see what you're looking at.
You've seen the pictures. You've commented before. I've got Rachel, who's very young. She's 23. Mm, that could be a problem.
She's a personal trainer too.
Is she?
Yeah.
And Tash. And she might be too old. So anyway.
She's a sports teacher.
She's 34.
How old would you were saying she's conservatively over 40.
No, I did not say. I didn't say about her.
Jane. You did.
I said there's a few that I'll go if they're the age they're saying.
Who have you got in the sweep?
Me, I've got Monique. Who's a fashion designer, 26, hello Monique. And
now he's got the creepy voice.
Another one was Sam, who's a public servant from Victoria too, so good luck to me.
Who's one of mine, Jessie? I think she could be the first to go.
That's not very nice. You've got to cheer you. It's like the Melbourne Cup.
I'm just saying.
Cheer your horse on.
Well.
Cheer your bird on.
Calling Jessie a horse.
Well, it is horse's birthday tomorrow, August 1.
I am not saying that.
In there.
Hey, last night I went to a play. I had another play. I think it's the last play for a while in our house.
Can we talk about this on the other side?
Absolutely.
I think we need to do that.
I'm fascinated by
your nocturnal activities when it comes to theatre and your children.
All right, we'll do it right after this. Thanks to HSV for the new series 2, HSV Sports Cat. Play hard.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
That sounds great.
The Bachelor's good. What was the one I liked? What was the one?
Love Island?
No. They used to push people into the pool.
Man-O-Man?
Man-O-Man.
You liked that show.
That was a great show.
Rob Guest.
The only thing that could have been better is if there was no water in that pool. So when they pushed you into the pool, those dicks just cracked their heads on the bottom. You'd watch that, wouldn't you?
You would. There's the
Man-O-Man was one of the first, by the way.
Yes, it was. That's true. The Asian dating shows are incredibly brutal.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. You can see them on SBS
at the moment. Like what?
Well, they bring out a parade of girls who are all incredibly attractive, but it's so brutal. It's like, nup. It's like live swiping. And it's just gone. Like, it's really... And it's purely based on looks. Like they, I don't even think they speak.
But I think they all are, aren't they? What are you trying to say? There's something a bit deeper. There's a deeper connection with The Bachelor than she's a hottie.
I am saying it's all about looks. I'm not going to be silly. It has to be. I mean, that's why The Bachelor has to be handsome.
Surprising they haven't come knocking. But
well, there's plenty of reasons why they have not knocked on your door, and I think you know that.
I would be an excellent. Excellent.
I think you might have missed the boat. Just quietly.
A few skeletons in the closet, I reckon.
Shut up, Dave.
Age-wise,
you always have to pile on, don't you?
You may. What if they do a senior bachelor? What if they do
Bachelor?
The cardigan bachelor?
No, what about this? What about a show? No. What about a show called Toolies?
Again, that has a very bad ring to it.
So a group of us who go to Schoolies Week who shouldn't be there and see who can pick up. Okay,
no, my idea sounds real.
Yours sounds
illegal.
I'd watch it.
Toolies. You'd watch Toolies. So you get a whole heap of schoolies and one toolie. So say I'm the toolie and then there's 18 schoolies.
I now have children old enough to go to schoolies, so I'm starting to worry about
that. And one lucky schoolie gets to date the toolie.
I don't think that's
helpful. Toolie. Toolies. Hey, trademark that.
Yeah.
That's mine.
All right.
My new dating show.
You're listening, Channel 7?
Toolies.
July 31.
Your next family-friendly show.
Yeah.
Toolies. Coming soon to 7.
I'm pitching a dating show to 7.
Are you?
Oh, it's a ripper. I can't tell you on air because you'll pinch it.
No, I don't think we will.
Let me say this. It's fiery.
Isn't it?
There will be carnage. There will be blood.
Are you really doing this?
This does not go well.
Gosh, I'm fascinated.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow, strap yourself in. Hey, now listen, what's this I say? I'm reading a program for the grand football match, and it's a proper looking playbill.
I went to a school play last night, Twin Boys. Yeah. They are very good.
They're in the twins.
But they're in a play that was about the story and the history of football in this country, and it was the Australian Rules Football Code that's the oldest in the world. And it started with a couple of boys observing Aboriginal players. So it's truly an Indigenous game and how it started. And it was very interesting and it was really, really well done. They filmed a lot of it.
Based around these two schools in question are the ones who started it.
Yes, some very old schools in Melbourne who played.
Let's just say is a cucumber sandwich eating...
sort of snobby, posh schools. Yeah.
And they played the very first game of football. But
a grand football match will be played this day between the Scotch College and the Church of England Grammar Schools near the MCG ground, 40 aside. The game to commence at 1:30. Luncheon at the pavilion. So is it good? Because this is a good story.
It is.
Tom Wills, he's the big character in this.
Yes.
Who played Tom Wills?
Well, there was a young lad. I won't say his name.
Because he was foremost in this, and I think Tom
Wills... He was a
great
cricketer.
Tom Wills also took the first Indigenous cricket side.
He did.
To London.
He did too.
And got stabbed. I think he stabbed himself to death.
It's not a good ending, and they do mention that. They say how it ends. They go, strap yourselves in. It's not a happy story how this
but
ends.
But what a
Tom
great
Wills.
Story, Australian hey, story. Yeah. That should be a film. Who's made the film of this bloke?
Well, I don't know. And we had one of our young lads.
I think you dated him for a while, didn't you?
Pardon? Get off. This is 1858 when the game was played. I'll have you know.
And what was, how were the boys? How were your boys? Were they good?
Well, I was very proud.
They've got the gene, haven't they?
Well,
they've
you know. The apples,
a bit funny,
the
bit
apples not dropping yeah. far. But it was great to see. I took my parents.
Oh, nice.
When you take the grandparents along, yeah. it's great. And congratulations to Dan, who was the writer and the young director at school and the, did that. So it was great to right. see. But I don't know. I've
people
been
complain,
to a lot.
People complain about having to go to see school
Look,
plays.
I've
got to say, I find them mostly pretty amusing.
Well, strap yourself in because you'll have a lot to go to. And sometimes they don't all... You recently went to one, Dave, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah. We had one at our school. We had like a school concert as well. I took my daughter to go see Bring It On the Musical the other night, which is in Melbourne, which was pretty good
but that's
as well.
Very good. That's and professional
of, it
people.
Is, but, you know, for lots of dads out there, they enjoyed the
What did we have to do for your daughter? We had to teach her what instrument was
No,
called?
It was my son. He did the xylophone.
Xylophone's very big.
We did a whole show.
We did.
To point out how cool the xylophone can be.
That's
cool.
true. But I wonder what plays that other...
Well, Come on.
Have you been to some plays this year? Sometimes they're good.
1-3-5-3 school
good.
Plays we're interested
and
in.
Tell yeah. us
we got a prize or something, Dave?
We do have prizes. Prizes everywhere. Prize packs and tickets to go see Kiss as well at the end of the Road World Tour.
What's happening with Metallica? Well do we have Metallica?
Well, I'll make a
Are we going? Are you and me going?
Yeah, I'll go. That? Absolutely.
You're very keen on your
Metallica. Are one of those shows, if you go see them, it's as much fun watching the band as it is watching the fans because their fans are insane.
How awesome.
It's going to be great.
All right.
Give us a call. 1-3-3-5-3 school plays.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy. Kennedy Molloy.
Yes, The Bachelor, not too far away. Matt will be in studio, then Adam Gilchrist as well. This is Kennedy Molloy.
I went to a school play last night, the Grand Football Match, it was called.
The
an
twins,
original play.
Front yep. and centre, yep. shooting the lights out. You know what I'd like to go and see?
What's that?
A Sitch family production.
Like the Von Trapps.
Like the Von Trapps.
I'd pay to see that.
The Sitch family presents.
You get one of those.
And you go and put one on, because that would be star-studded.
Oh, well,
there'd be performances all over the joint. You could come out like a Mother Hubbard kind of character.
Or even just bring out
Julie
some
Andrews, I was thinking
Julie
of
Andrews,
more.
Yes, or but, Mary Poppins kind of.
But what about some Sitch classics like Mike Moore or Brooke Vandenberg on stage?
Yeah, but I'd love to more dynamic you, than that. They could play some of the greats from musical theatre.
How right. about you just Sitchy join our dinner it. Table every night?
Oklahoma.
What? Sitchy, you could sit at our table every night and you'll hear every character you need
you
to hear.
Do you sit together at a table as a family?
Not every night because everybody's got different things on. When
well,
we do,
right, when
it's
I went there for dinner, you forgot to give them dinner, your kids dinner at all.
I was distracted.
Halfway through our meal. Mum, have we got anything?
Should a reality TV
fish
show.
Fish out of 50.
Yeah.
Send them down the road.
Keeping Up with the Sitches. I'd watch that.
That would be...
A Sitch family production would be magnificent.
Really?
All right. So we're talking about school productions because
yes.
you went to yet another one. Are they fun? Have they gone wrong? Karen's on the line. Karen, what did your son do?
He and his school are doing the Addams Family this Thursday, Friday and Saturday.
Now,
I
that's
need to
a
get
good
a plug
one.
Away.
I've seen the Addams Family already. That was one of the musicals I can tick off this year. I had
so can
one
I say
kid
this?
Do that.
That'd be fun for kids because
be,
there's lots
it?
Of good roles. There's some makeup. Whee!
That's right.
Thing, you can
Morticia.
Play Thing, you can be the hand.
There are some very good roles.
Uncle Fester.
Yeah.
Man.
Wednesday.
Uncle Fester's a good role.
Oh, yes. Uncle Fester is good. No, it's a very good show, Karen, so you'll look forward to
she
seeing that.
She was quite hot. Jennifer O'Neill. Was it Jennifer?
Oh, you're thinking of the new Addams Family?
No, the original Addams Family.
Oh, Caroline.
Oh, yes, Caroline Jones.
Jones.
Yeah.
Wow.
She was gorgeous.
Crikey.
Yeah.
I quite like Gomez.
Well, yeah.
Moncherie.
More of a lurch guy.
Had a, always had a kind of weird
Thank you, Karen, for calling. Hello, Sean. Where are you
How
heading
you going,
off
guys?
To? Good.
Yeah, good. Where are you going? Who's in a play?
Not so much who was in it. I was in it in grade 5. We did a Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Grade 5?
In grade 5.
That'd be
it's
weird.
It's a little ripe, isn't it? For
it's kind of a highly sexualised school
That's
play.
What I look back on it now and go, hang on a second. We were after watching the movie a bit when I was a bit older, I was like, we're 11-year-olds and we're being introduced to that type of stuff. That's
So was someone getting around in yellow derps?
And fishnets?
For the entire play?
There was a few fishnets around and a couple of skirts and everything.
A little bit of this?
Who played the meatloaf role?
I can't remember. One of my classmates. All I remember was I had to sit in a dressing gown out the back with a cardboard saxophone.
Oh, very interesting.
Do you know what? It's very entertaining, but I have to say I've never quite understood it.
It's not my favourite musical either.
I don't get it.
It's not mine.
Susan Sarandon was very good in the role.
She was.
Good soundtrack.
Let's go to Dave. Hey, Dave.
Hello.
School plays. Been to a few?
I actually had to sit through a rendition of The Hungry Caterpillar when my kid was in kindy.
Well, that's a good book.
Yeah, it was a good book, but it only supposed to go for half an hour. But because they were little ones, they were running around all over the place. My young bloke
great stuff.
And I'm like, how long does it take to eat the apple, caterpillar? Let's get it over and done with.
Your son was the apple.
He was the apple, yeah. Oh, so the caterpillar was chasing him
that's,
around.
That's a good role, though.
Yeah.
All eyes go to that.
That'll go good on a CV. When
my first role on stage as a youngster in Canberra, on the stage, Chinaman number 3.
Oh,
I was. Hmm. I was Chinaman number 3.
Sounds very un-PC.
It was set in the gold rush era.
Oh.
And I had to sit there with a rice paper hat.
Yeah, right.
Again, inappropriate.
Pounding for gold.
How interesting.
But as I came on, there was a flutter of programs as people went, oh.
No kidding.
Who is me? Who is he?
He cannot say anything, can he?
Full of himself.
Being the star.
Absolute full of himself.
Or being the best. I was Miss Muffet.
Oh.
Well.
Mm-hmm. Sat on me Tuffet. I hope he was still breathing.
Were you Miss Muffet?
I was Miss Muffet.
It's a good role.
It is a good role.
It's a good role.
Long live Miss
Don't,
Muffet.
Don't Google that.
Really?
No.
All right.
Okay, where are we? Caroline.
Hello, Caroline.
Hello.
Any school productions coming up for you?
No, we just had Joseph Annett's Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Oh, that's a great show.
Whereabouts are you?
Newcastle Grammar.
Ah, Newcastle Grammar. We've got a song from there.
Yeah, what about
they did a great one.
Yeah, Jason Donovan did this one as well.
Did everyone join in, Caroline?
Eight shows a week for Jason. I think he missed a few.
It was wonderful.
Oh, it was good. Good on you. Sometimes they go for a bit long, though. Was it long?
This one had some good little funny things in it with some dancing camels as students and just a few little...
Love a dancing camel.
Good times. Yeah, good on you, Caroline. Thanks for letting us know.
I think that's all we've got time for right now, I'm afraid. Well done, though. A little cross-section of what's going on out there.
Busy, busy.
A drive home that's pretty loose. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Hey,
there's a big interview going on 7:30
So what's happening
tonight.
Jane Kennedy?
Lee Sales has interviewed George Columbaris. Many people are saying it's 2 weeks too late for George to start speaking out. And it's an interesting choice of interview venue, I think, doing the 7:30 report. Seeing as on 10, I think they're still contracted to 10. I would have imagined maybe the project would be something that go on or do.
Sure.
He's done an interview on via the press but hasn't actually come out.
Come on here. That would have got a fair hearing.
I don't think George is going to come on here in a hurry, just quietly. But here's a snippet from tonight's interview.
It takes a long time to build a reputation, in your case, you know, 25 years of work, and then you can lose it in a week. What has been the toll of that on you?
I love this industry. I really do. And I love every opportunity that it's given me.
Well, I am yet to see the interview, as we all are, sure. So that was a snippet released. I'm hoping that there is going to be an interview with one of the workers that used to work for him.
It would be good to hear from.
It would be good to hear from people who were not paid their full dues of payment at the time. Now, as far as I believe, George is saying this, and I don't disagree in the big picture of what he's saying. Years ago when he set up a business and he got business partners on board and it's all been creative and they're expanding at a great rate of knots, and he's a creative person, he appoints accountants to handle that stuff. And I don't think it's unreasonable for him not to know exactly what they're doing, the accountants. And I want to find out and get to the bottom of that because I think that's where it pointed.
But then he's made a fundamental mistake by employing the wrong people to run his business. So either way, there's still a degree of answerability to that.
But the business was then being taken over.
So then no one's answerable ever to anything.
Well, they have to be,
it's
they
like
are.
Ignorance of the law. I didn't know that. Oh, well, I didn't know that was going on.
Well, that's unfortunate. Well. And
I think if you put your name to something, and look, I'll come across, I bet you, you know, this will happen to all of us at some stage, but...
But you don't employ, you have not employed 600 people, so it's probably unlikely that you'll come a cropper. That and it's an industry where this happens a lot.
It's all speculation. You know, the only thing I can say is this, that I remember when I was young and I had no money at all, and it was one of my first acting. I can't tell you what, it was my first stand-up gig I ever did, and I was living in a shared house and I had no money. And I did a midnight show and I was supposed to be paid $60 for that gig,
mm-hmm.
and I never received $60, and it still kills me that I never got that $60.
Yep.
And when I run into the manager of that bar, I still go, "Hey, how are we going? You know, you owe me $60." And we all laugh about it.
But you shouldn't laugh
at
all.
But at the time, it sounds silly now. But for 600 workers who work for George Colombaris, and good on him for employing people and creating work and all that stuff. But for those people, $60
yep.
can be
means
a lot of money.
That's it a tank
mean
of petrol.
A lot.
I mean, no one, George is a good guy. No one wants to see George,
of course
cut
not.
Down. But there are genuine questions about, and here's my other one. Why is it so endemic to this industry? So you can say George didn't know, but I think there's about another five. Another five chefs who are about to claim exactly the same thing. Mm. Well, what did I know? My work expanded. I don't know how to run a business.
Well, I'll tell you what the bottom line is.
Why is it?
I'll tell you why. Okay. I don't think restaurants make money. This is the problem. I think people set up restaurants with these high hopes and dreams. And not many people are of the calibre of George or other big players who can have multiple restaurants. Yeah. But it's how do restaurants make money? They've got to pay their staff. Crap, that's what's happened. And that's why there was a big hoo-ha when they wanted to have higher
illegal.
Rates on weekends.
It's illegal. You can't pay it illegal.
We can't do that if you work in a bank, can you?
That's right. You can choose not to open your restaurant on Sunday. We know people in hospitality who make these calls because they actually can't afford it.
Mm. That's true.
So I know plenty of people who go, you know what, it's easy for me not to open. Mm. However, the rules are the rules.
The rules
and
are
so
the
you
rules.
Can't go, well, I'm going to...
And I think
the
shock came when everybody thought it was about $2 million and it's turned out to be $7.8 million. Mm. Oh, that's slightly high, isn't it? But I think hopefully now there's reform. You won't be able to get away with it anymore. And that's maybe one of the legacies, unintentionally, that George has put forward.
Why is a 7:30 report a weird call for you? Why is it?
I just, I'm not sure. I think the PR machine is going on.
And too late. You said it's too late. You still don't want to hear from him, though?
I want to hear from George.
People might really change their opinion when they hear George say, this is what happened.
But that's why I think he should have come out 2 weeks ago because, as you say, George is a good guy. And I don't think there was any intent in doing this intentionally. He didn't want to rip people off intentionally. I think he should have got on the front foot earlier. But, you know, that's what PR companies are for.
Yeah. I wish we lived in a time where I could just not pay anyone and send people down a coal mine for 14 hours a day.
You don't want to do that.
And mate, you know what I have my boys doing?
What?
Weaving rugs for 18 hours a day.
Well, the good old days.
Bit of slave labour. All righty. Okay. When we come back, we've got some music news. Loads of music news happening.
Excellent.
And The Bachelor coming up.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy. Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Molloy.
The Bachelor returns to our screens tonight, 7:30 on 10. And here's what we know so far about this season's Bachelor.
I'm a astrophysicist.
Okay, I'm a Gemini.
Yeah, he just sounds really smart.
He's looking for someone who speaks the language of love.
I've just spent the past 2 years living in China. So you were saying gay need to get the
shit.
I can't believe he can speak some Chinese. I'm thrilled.
But is his future love written in the stars?
I am falling for that a little bit more each time.
You're my kind of perfect.
I'm falling in love with you.
I love you.
Please welcome to the show, the new Bachelor, Matt Agnew.
Matt.
Jeez.
Agnew. Wow, what can I say? Except the first question I asked the Bachelor last year.
Yep.
You remember
Honey Badger?
Him?
I do.
Honey Badger?
I do. Yep.
Was have you actually watched the show?
yes, I have watched it. Yeah.
Thank God.
I haven't watched a whole season in its entirety.
Which is good in itself.
Mm. Yeah.
Let me just say, as a bloke.
Yeah,
I think it's all right not to watch the whole thing.
But I dipped in and out. I was aware of the mechanics of the show and what I was getting myself into. Yeah.
All right.
You'd be aware then you're probably going to have to dumb it down a fair bit. If you really want to make a connection here.
Matt,
credit where credit's due. I didn't think I had to.
Diplomacy here.
Matt, I was very excited when I heard about the casting of yourself. I'm a long-time Bachelor watcher, Bachelorette watcher.
Stalker.
Hashtag.
Keen.
Come on.
Yeah. Slobberer.
Listen.
Handsy.
Handsy, she's all hands. You watch yourself. Stay at a nice safe distance. You get touched up.
He's a buffer.
I'm beyond getting embarrassed by this sort of behaviour, Matt, I'll have you know. But I was impressed that someone with, at first I thought, a normal job, a real normal bloke has got the role. But an astrophysicist isn't your run-of-the-mill gig, is it?
No. It is a bit niche.
They must have.
How long have you been an astrophysicist?
About 4 years.
What's your favourite nebula?
Oh, jeez.
Oh, wow. Jeez.
Crab.
Crab?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm the horse head.
Okay,
the horse head, maybe the cat's eye.
Yeah.
Mick, I did not know you had such an interest in astrophysics.
You know my favourite adventurer?
Hit me.
Leica.
Ah, excellent. The dog.
Yes, off Sputnik.
Fantastic.
Very good.
I love it.
Very good.
Great.
I knew that one.
Bad dog. Hey, just quickly, one more. What planet was Mork from? Ork, ha!
Mork,
that would be because
Mars,
old.
Wasn't it?
You're old and Matt's young, and that would be Mork and Mindy.
The show, that was Robin Williams.
Yeah, it was.
I just want to set the pace now and we get back in the romantic mood because I know people, girlfriends get together, boyfriends get together, and everybody watches this show. It's a great bachelor party. Let me just play you a bit to get everybody in the mood for meeting you, Matt.
Yep.
This season, it's back to basics.
Astrophysicist. Yeah, he just sounds really smart.
As a down-to-earth bachelor.
I'm a bit of a hopeless romantic.
Cheers to love.
Leaves the ladies over the moon.
Baby making 101.
Baby making 101, says one of the stalkers.
That's one to watch. That's a yellow card right there, that is.
When you signed up for this and you knew, of course, what you'd be in for, the feeling when it's actually getting closer, what did your mates say? What did your family say?
Getting closer to me filming or getting closer
filming
to airing?
Yes, filming to it. Filming it and going, crikey.
My mates didn't know. I had to keep it very, very secret.
How do you do that?
There wasn't much time between being offered the role and actually starting filming. It was only about a week.
Yeah.
So I didn't have to keep my wits about me.
How'd they find you?
I applied.
Okay.
At the very final episode of the series, they say, hey, you want to be the new Bachelor? Osha says that. Hey, maybe me. Oh, no, don't worry.
How dare you?
Shade.
What's he got that I haven't got? Apart from abs.
Oh, my God. Apart from that, I think we've got half the office out here run out to have a look at you.
Nice.
Yeah, we're good looking.
Very flattering.
You're very good looking young man.
You're good looking and you're smart.
Where are your glasses?
What do you like in the sack? Are you in the sack?
You don't ask.
Hey, do you go hard?
Excuse me.
I haven't had complaints to date, man.
Hey, I'll tell you what. Now, you've gone in there and you're all dressed up and it's the first night. Do you have those nerves pumping when all the girls, you're thinking, who's going to come out?
Absolutely, yeah. Even just sitting in the limo on the way to the mansion, and I'm absolutely
packing. How many cameras do they have in the limo?
Just the one.
Just the one.
Just the one in the limo, but that's enough to put the fear of God in me about what I'm about to step into.
And then you stand there and then someone like this comes along and meets you.
Hey.
Hi. Mwah. I'm Chelsea.
Chelsea, nice to meet you. Tell me more about this red box.
Okay.
I don't recognise the molecule.
You're speaking my language.
I do.
So I'm a chemical engineer. It is a chemical structure of oxytocin, which is a lot. Wow. I actually didn't think you'd be able to understand what I was talking about at all. It's a temporary tattoo, by the way.
Let's do it right on my heart.
No, look at that.
Oh, how about that? I hope oxytocin works.
I'm getting a warm blush, actually.
I understood the warm flush bit.
Yeah.
Well, that was a backhanded compliment, wasn't it? I didn't think he would understand a word I said.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the bar was pretty low from the sound.
And she walks out with a box. What was it? Was it an element or no?
Yeah, it was an organic chemistry molecule.
Sure. Oh, go on.
Honey badger never did that.
It was it was the
honey badger didn't talk like that.
The chemical structure of oxytocin.
I'll tell you what.
Oh, yeah.
As I'm thinking oxytocin, we might have to go to
We should name a constellation the honey badger. Would that be good? Could you find a planet and call it the honey badger?
We'll call it an Agnew after you and we'll come back after
an
the spray.
An Agnew? That sounds like some kind of cyst.
Jeez, mate, that is brutal.
It needs lancing.
Gee, you know that last name of yours, Matt? refer to it as some kind of growth or fungus.
Mate, I'm on your side. Trust me, if you get lucky with one of these girls, I'll push your bottom up.
Okay, that's enough.
We'll
be back.
Yeah. Matt Agnew is with us. The Bachelor premieres tonight. 7:30 on 10. This is Kennedy Malloy.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
We've got Matt. He's The Bachelor. It's back on the TV tonight, 7:30 on Network 10. Jane Kennedy, Mick Malloy.
What are you looking for? Come on. What's your type? Big cans? What is it?
Stop it.
No, I mean...
because have you not found your... The series has been filmed.
It's filmed, yeah.
So now
yeah.
you have to zip it, but you really... Have you found the one?
I found love, yeah.
You found love. God, look at the suite we've got to pick through all these girls.
Was it Osha?
I mean, I found two loves.
You found love.
Yeah.
Now, did you have to pash a lot of them? This is what baffles me. And how does the one that you've ended up with feel about this?
Yeah, look, at the end of the day, a relationship, got a, you know, politician answer here. A relationship is, there's an important element of an emotional connection, but also a physical connection. And I was 100% there to find love.
Yes,
I wasn't
you were.
There to find a friendship, which is in the absence of that physical connection.
That's right.
That's what it is.
And also
so,
get a bit of...
Stop it. They don't do
yes,
that on this show.
Do.
No,
it's
they
very
don't.
Innocent. It's, they don't do it on this show.
Don't you have like a master suite or
no,
something?
No, that's the American version. We're very clean living here.
So, yeah, so it's... everyone's aware. No one's under any delusion that that's part of the show. They're trying
but
to find that.
You might have, along the way, broken some hearts. Let's just have a listen because I think a few of the girls
hope you're happy.
Might have gone the blub along the way.
I just feel really sad. Like, I never felt good enough, I guess.
I didn't think this would be this hard.
What did you do to those poor
hope
girls, seriously?
How now, do you live with yourself?
Something goes crazy. I've also seen, sorry, I'm just going to jump on top of you. I've seen a promo where shit hits the fan quite severely, doesn't it? You got very cross in one episode.
I got cross. there's some flowery language thrown around at times.
What got you cross?
The flowery language.
So that was it. You're old school.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not just the...
For the language to be a bit more ladylike.
It was the intent of it as well. No, it was. I mean, No, absolutely not, man. Talk absolutely how you want.
Really?
It was the intent and the malice behind the words.
The girls get a bit bitchy.
Crikey.
Behind the scenes.
Went towards you or other girls?
The only parts I'm aware of is what's directed towards me.
How's that going? Well, mate, welcome to my world. I cop that on a daily basis. Yes. You soak that stuff up, I find.
So I do seek to address it, and yeah, there's a few more things at play, and you'll see that. I can't go into details, but it's a interesting situation.
All right,
you seem too good to be true. What's your mean streak?
Yeah. What's your dark side?
Don't you make suits out of human skin in a basement or something? What is it?
It's because my last name means cyst, doesn't it?
Oh, see, he's not going to drop that. You've offended the Bachelor now.
No rose for me.
I want to get back to Matt, the fact that you are an astrophysicist. And before, if you were not doing the Bachelor now and you're continuing your work, what would you be doing? What sort of was your main dream?
The area of research that I focus on is trying to figure out where we should look to find another planet like Earth. Mm-hmm. And I find that absolutely fascinating. I'm so passionate about it. And, yeah, I would have continued going down that. And that's not necessarily in the same way I've researched in the past, but maybe potentially look into the atmospheric conditions or chemical composition of atmospheres on some of these planets.
I know, that's really interesting. I know.
What's your favourite dwarf planet?
Pluto, mate.
Pluto, everyone likes Pluto.
It's a good one.
It's just testing him, it's ridiculous. Okay, so The Bachelor, also, I just want to say, there's one of the girls from Parks, isn't she? Where the
yes,
dish is.
Yes, which I understand, obviously, involved in the dish.
There you go.
Produce the dish.
Oh, she gets to the front of the queue.
That'd be good. You could be Mr. Dish. It would be perfect.
Mr. Dish.
Hey, hello.
All right. So,
we wish you so much luck. Obviously, you have found luck.
What was your best date? You're always going on dates. What was the best? Is there one in particular or a location you can tell us about that you wouldn't have seen that coming?
There's none I can tell you about, but there are some wild dates. There's some really exciting dates. There's some really intimate dates as well.
Conjugal visits? any conjugal
it's
visits?
It's not like that.
None of these shenanigans, Mick. It's all very highbrow.
Tonight, 7:30, see Matt. You won't be disappointed. Don't let me down like the honey badger did, though. And, you know, you do pick someone in the end.
I do. I won't let you down.
Thank
careful
you,
getting out of the office alive. All the women all the women here have gone moist in the nether
hey,
regions.
Hey, okay. Hey, hey. Thank you very much. That's The Bachelor on 10 tonight. Thanks to
this
Matt.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Thank you. Cheers, guys.
A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy. Yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Malloy.
And it's going to be a roll goal beauty, take my word for it. Lots of ground to cover here. You've got some royal news in a nutshell.
Big royal news.
What do you want about?
Harry says they're only going to have two children, him and Meghan. That's speaking a little early.
He's
Who knows?
Bit of a dick. About, what side of the bed do you sleep on?
I am on the left-hand side.
Yeah. Dave?
Yeah, left as well, close to the window.
That's interesting, isn't it?
And you, starfish.
Starfish.
Oh, you don't have
No one else involved, sadly.
Oh.
Just me. What you want.
But some people swap around. Some couples swap.
We're going to ask you about that because the phones blew up the last time we did this, and there's a reason to do it. Hey, there's an artist out there called Picasso. We've been promising this for days.
He paints with his penis.
Picasso. It's like Picasso, but he paints with his dick.
Pardon me.
We need to cover this.
Yikes.
Forget the Dutch masters.
I'm still baffled how... Oh, I see. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, you with it?
Okay, yeah, I'm with you.
I'll show you during the episode.
No need. No need.
I'll paint you a mural.
Oh, I'm a lucky girl.
We want to talk about people who won't leave home. We're going to take your calls. We'll take your tweets. But there's big sport news, as big as it gets in this country. It's coming down the pike, so let's kick off with this bloke.
After the Aussies claimed the Ashes at home last year,
Australia have now won the Ashes 4-0.
They're set to return to battle on foreign soil at Edgbaston from tomorrow.
Yeah, this series here I think is going to be a big one.
With Steve Smith returning to the test scene after Sandpaper Gate and James Pattinson and Usman Khawaja certain starters, the Aussies are looking a red-hot chance.
This side is going to be combative. That's the Australian way. There aren't going to be any shrinking violets out there.
And what better way to preview the Ashes than with this country's record-breaking wicketkeeper and the guy who scored one of the all-time great Ashes Test centuries.
The second fastest in the history of Test cricket.
Please welcome to the show, Adam Gilchrist.
You need a couple of other things as well, but that's pretty much it in a nutshell. How are you, Gilly?
Oh, I'm very good, thanks, Mick. Jane?
Yeah, I'm really good, Gilly. How are you? Good to have you on board here with us.
Thanks for swinging by. Before we get to the test, you also scored one of the great 100s in a World Cup final. Back in the Caribbean, back in the day, which was I was there. It was one of the incredible innings of all time. And what a famous day that was, because I remember we went down there at 9 o'clock in the morning. I was there.
Right.
And then we finished in the dark at about 9 o'clock at night.
Is that true?
They'd been taken. I was sitting with your manager and Ricky Ponting's manager at the time, and we were sitting there, and we'd go down to get drinks, and they'd go, look, they're back on. They're back on. And it was in the dark, and do you remember the Duckworth-Lewis system at one stage, and let's just say mathematics at that stage probably wasn't the West Indies' strong suit. I think we needed 5 runs from 10,500 deliveries. But do you remember that clearly?
I do very much clearer than what it looked out on the field. It was very dark. I do... Jane, what I remember about that 2007 World Cup was that throughout that tournament, it was all across the Caribbean islands, and it's a wonderful tournament for people to go on
Gilly.
And then some people go in various levels of luxury, and some people take the backpacker, the sort of smelly backpacker look that they don't wash for about 3 weeks and bounce from island to island however they can get there and come and, you know, harass the players in the team foyer on the morning of a game.
That sounds unbearable.
Mick, how were the seats?
They were very good, thank you very much.
He didn't come and harass you,
did
he?
I did. I got off the boat.
I was trying to check into a hotel in St. Lucia where we had the semi-final, and I kid you not, from behind a pot plant, he was timing his run. He might have even been sleeping there, but I woke him up. He came over, and, it was great to have that Aussie support, that genuine Australian sort of smell and breath. And
Gilly, I apologise for his behaviour because this is something part of Mick's life. There's a big hole in that he doesn't. Yeah. We're never to bring up the Island of Mystique, apparently.
No. Yeah, let's talk about.
Have you got any intel on that?
Wasn't on the tour.
I can't. I wasn't part of that one. St. Lucia, which is a wonderfully...
that sounds exotic to me.
St. Lucia was amazing.
Island, and then over to Barbados. Mick's not lying. That's where we were for the big final, and it was a wonderful trip.
What a time.
So St. Lucia, I remember that because we were playing South Africa, and it was one of the great wins of all time. They just were beside themselves with fear with our opening bowlers at that stage. But then, Gilly, I couldn't get to Barbados because we didn't have a ticket at that stage or a direct flight.
I was going to say, weren't sent out of the country at that stage.
No, well, listen, I think as it flies, it's about a 20-minute flight from St. Lucia to Barbados.
Yeah.
We had to go to Puerto Rico. Yep. We had to go to Puerto Rico, clear customs, and fly back in because it was the only way you could get in to the island of Barbados.
It all sounds a little seedy to me, the whole situation.
It was a load of fun.
But now, sounds good.
That World Cup ended in chaos, as did the previous one. We'll go to a break shortly, but I just want to get your read on one of the most incredible finishes to a World Cup. Mm. Is it your opinion that New Zealand have been...
ripped off. Yeah, I think, I think in the 4 years since the last World Cup, the team that's dominated across that four-year period is England. They probably deserve to hold the World Cup, but New Zealand deserved to win the World Cup final. And they didn't. They didn't get it. But I think the rule will get changed. They'll revisit that. If there's a tied super over, they might have another crack at another super over. Because everyone was there. It was all set up. And it wasn't like the West Indies of 2007.
They had nowhere else to go.
No, it
well,
chaos.
They had lights as well, as opposed to Kensington Oval in Barbados. Yeah. So they could have gone all night if they wanted to, if it kept tying. But great drama.
It was incredible drama. And to watch it in those, to see that incident where the ball comes off Stokes' bat. Mm-hmm. Now, you won't see that again probably in your lifetime when it goes to four. But to have it in the ultimate over of a World Cup. And to have two very good umpires unaware of the rule that pertains specifically to that is just beyond belief.
Yeah, my hand's up. I've played cricket as long as I can remember, and I thought that was six runs as well. Yeah. I thought they'd completed two runs plus the four extras, that's six. Yeah. But apparently it's when he lets the ball go. I haven't known that rule all my playing days, but I must admit, I was sort of shrieking with distress. I was streaming
audibly.
I was streaming this on my phone in a three-man tent with my two youngest sons
on a camping trip.
It was 2:30 a.m. in WA time. We were down in the southwest of WA. They were asleep. I was in a caravan park and I was trying to contain my displeasure at England getting up. Those Kiwis, Jane, you're right. They look like lovely blokes.
They are. Team. Look, stick around with us, Gilly. We'll go to a track and then we'll come back and talk some more.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Joining us from our Mix 94.5 studios in WA, Adam Gilchrist.
Adam Gilchrist, who will be watching the Ashes for the first time from his own couch in WA,
how will that
as opposed
feel?
To being there. Wow. Yeah.
Are you looking forward to that aspect of doing that?
Absolutely. Very much so. It's since 1997 was my first tour over there. I did a lot of watching of the Ashes on that trip too. I wasn't participating. I was running a lot of drinks out and fixing guys' lunch and taking it down to the change rooms for them. Actually, at Lord's, my first ever test match that I was present at Lord's was the 97 Ashes. I was understudy to Ian Healy and unfortunately I got caught up at an old club team reunion that I played at on the Saturday night and spent most of day three in the bathroom at Lord's, asleep in the bathtub. But
so how did Heels take that?
Those were the days.
Heels was so proud of me. He's old school. I thought that's what Ashes tours are all about. That's what Warwick Todd Diaries told me.
So you're also part of the 2001 team, which was the last time we won the Ashes on English soil. And you even captained in one of those test matches. If I remember.
The losing one. The losing test.
It doesn't matter, mate. We won the Ashes. As we embark on another one, and before we get into it, I just want to ask you quickly, these guys, we're going to get booed again, aren't we? And we're going to get hammered. As one of the fairest players who ever played the game, and we know that, you famously walked in a World Cup final because you knew you'd hit it. It must break your heart's a strong word, but a lot of fans feel that way about the esteem our team went from and to. Yep. Do you feel a great sadness about what transpired in South Africa?
Yeah, I think it was a build-up of the way the team were probably travelling over a period of time, and it was coming to a head both on and off the field. They'd been through that whole ugly pay dispute too with the cricket board and sort of strike action and so on. So it had spiralled out of control. That was where it blew up, and I think it's been a terrific rebuild since. It was, you know, that wise old words about saying don't waste the crisis. Well, I think on evidence so far, it hasn't been wasted. There's been a few changes in administration and obviously changes in personnel around the team. Justin Langer came in, Darren Lieben resigned. Yeah. I think Darren was exhausted.
He's
a really good mate of mine.
He's a good fella.
Of everyone's really, Buff is. And he was exhausted and I think he knew it was time to step aside. So a bit of life back in there with JL and I think all the players know what they did wrong. Right. They've gone away and served their time. And,
and they're playing, they've been playing well in the World Cup, so that was tenement too.
You don't boo a good player, as I think Ian Chappell famously said that once. I think you try not to boo the good players because
it's interesting
it can come back to bite you.
The booing has been an issue in football as well. And on was it the Indian captain who came and just said, okay, that's enough now, let's calm it down?
It's a crazy day when Virat Kohli's coming out and saying, calm the farm.
But I think stuff like that is important, and maybe players can try and calm the farm on that, because it's gonna
it is what it is. You can't people pay their money. The Poms and the Palmy Army are going to sit there and
stick yourself in.
Now let's talk about Edgbaston. What's the team? Now we were having a discussion off air. I was suggesting to you that I thought Mitchell Starc would play. You think not?
I get the feeling James Pattinson, who is back in good nick, he's fit, he's been playing county cricket over there with resounding results. The talk is, having not been over there and seen it, that he's going to be straight in there.
Wow.
Along with Pat Cummins. You're not going to leave him out.
No.
And then I would think Hazelwood would certainly, his style of bowling suits those conditions. The thing about Stark's style, he's a little bit, he's not quite, I mean, he's a tall guy, but he sort of skids it on a little bit more, whereas these taller guys and a bit more, come from a bit more height and a bit more upright action, it just gets a bit more response from the pitchers over there in England. I think he'll feature Starkey at some stage in the series, but I've got a
feeling it's more a style issue, is it?
I think the good old cliche, horses for courses.
Yep.
Okay, what are our genuine chances? You know, we seem to be
they're
coming good, aren't they? I think every time I see us play, I get more confident that we're heading towards the pointy end of a rebuild. They've probably covered themselves in glory against Ireland.
So is Carlton, mate, this year. We're getting closer and closer.
I must say, I love it when the Poms are playing well. I have to say, it gives, you know.
Really?
I really enjoy it because it's even sweeter when they get beaten. That's why.
Yeah, good.
That's
good
where
point.
I was leading with that.
And what about the heat? Will the heat be a factor? The Poms are whinging already that it's too hot. Now apparently they're relaxing the dress codes at Lords. Is it a factor?
What is it? 28 degrees or something?
They're all wearing hankies on their
heads. Had a real warm one the other day, but I think the biggest factor will be. I think that the batting lineups are very similar for both teams. The bowling is quite a strength for both teams. There's one bloke in the middle for England, in the middle of that order, Ben Stokes, could be the difference. He was the difference in the World Cup. They tell me he's possibly going to get knighted for that effort. Ironic, isn't it? He could be knighted. He could have been in jail.
Yeah.
He could have been in jail. One or the other.
That's right.
They're pretty fluid over there.
Who do you think could be a breakout? Who could have the series of their life from the Australians?
Pat Cummins.
Pat Cummins.
He's been doing it for the last 12 months and just keeps running in. And look out for Matt Wade. If he does keep this sort of run of form going.
As a batsman.
Playing as a batsman. His results, his numbers are astounding. You don't need to go into fine detail. He is just length of straight ahead of anyone else with results in the last 12 months. So hopefully you can transfer that onto the international.
Gilly, thanks for your time. What I consider to be the greatest sporting contest in the world. Yeah. There's nothing like an Ashes. It's the old enemy. It's loads of fun. If you need any help understanding how to watch the Ashes from your couch, I'm prepared to come around.
How many pairs of tracking shoes?
Five pairs of tracking shoes.
A fresh one for each day.
And you fold them up and you leave it on the end of the couch and you put a mint on it like they do in hotel rooms. I'll talk you through it. Learn from the best.
Thanks, Gilly.
Good on you, Gilly.
See you, guys.
Malloy. A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Jane, you've got some music news.
I've got music. There's quite a bit of music news. Now, this one was your... you brought me to this.
Well, this was floating around the station when I got here today. Yeah. And there's a new Katy Perry song. What's it called? Is it Dark Horse?
Oh, it's an older song of hers. Dark Horse. And it's just coming to the news because she's a Christian rap band have decided it sounds very similar to theirs.
Now, Christian rap, there's a genre you don't hear a lot of.
No, that's an oxymoron in my book.
They say it's the same. Have you got a comparison?
Yes, so let's have a listen first to Katy Perry's song Dark Horse.
Yep. Let's rage.
Here you are. You're going to come to me. Here you are. But you better choose.
It's a good stripper song. That's the first thing that happened.
Which is, of course, what Katy Perry intended.
Okay.
That's that. Now, have a listen to Christian rap artist Flame.
And their song Joyful Noise.
Let's talk about it.
Your boy's been a Christian quite a few years. Yeah. Victory and faith, but I failed in my fears. I heard a lot of words that have tickled many ears. It's like I praised God for the word
of me. Oh, those lyrics are just insane.
Now, that obviously existed before.
In my fears.
Well, that's a, you could do ears. That. That was good. That was released in 2008.
It's no Old Town
Katy
Road.
Perry's no. song, we'll get to that. Katy Perry's song was 2013.
Do they sound the same to you, though?
There's an annoying beep, beep, beep noise, but let's have a mash-up of the two
right.
and see how
here
close
they are
they.
Together.
Let's talk about it. Uh-huh. Your boy's been a Christian quite a few years. Victory and faith.
Well,
I can hear it.
There it is.
Yes. I can hear it, yes. But I thought that's how most rap songs go anyway. Oh, I can't differentiate between...
What are you saying?
Well,
all rap songs sound the same.
I'm saying
all
that's
black
a
people
stretch.
Look alike.
No, oh, saying that. I'm saying, for a start, I thought that was a weird direction for Katy Perry to go in the first place.
Could have been a Christian. Mate, I'm all of a sudden I'm into Christian rap.
Me too.
I'm going to get that album. Who is it?
That's a Joyful. That's Flame. A
Flame.
Yeah. Joyful
to
Noise.
The world.
Yeah. Oh, tickle you. My ears. I like tickle that line. That's really head. Good. It's kind of catchy, isn't
Don't
it?
Don't do unto others.
You're really getting into this,
Man,
aren't you?
I love it.
I think you do.
That's my genre.
We'll find out what happens soon, but I don't really care. Well, I don't because I go, why do people sue each other? It's ridiculous because it's very easy to think of the same tunes and...
So if someone wrote a film called the Castle, the Castle-y, and then did exactly the same plot,
people
you wouldn't
have,
care.
Basically, anyway, oh, under different titles.
Oh, here she comes. Peasy Tiger. Hey, have you got some news about my man,
I
Lil
have
Nas?
Lil Nas, which we love. Can we hear a bit of Lil Nas?
Yeah, I'm going to take my horse to the old town road. I'm going to...
It's country song.
Smash.
Can we get just a bit? Get to the bridge.
Yeah, right.
You want to get to the drop, as the kids call it?
I'm going to ride till I can't no more. I got the horses in the back.
Happy now? You like that? Well, you can still keep playing it as I talk. It's the longest running number one of all time.
Dang. That's unbelievable. That
Hello.
Is unbelievable.
Now, I have to say, I'm getting towards my threshold. It has been around for a while. It's
really?
Had five remixes.
Yeah, it
I
has.
I think that's enough
lot.
Now.
Do you play this in the house when you...
I do. I don't know,
please tell me you have clothes on when you play this.
The best thing you can do is see a whole group of people singing it
yeah.
at the same time.
Like those
because
kids.
It's a real, like these kids.
That was cute.
There was a team of NFL team in a locker room singing
oh, really?
It, and it was just hilarious.
That's very cool.
Well done.
Now, some other news, but one of the great bands of all time, NXS, and Tim Farris. He's just sued a boat company because, you know, he severed one of his fingers.
I didn't know that till I heard
this
story.
Talk about, I hope you haven't eaten anything at the moment, but it was his left ring finger, whooshka, hacked off. Oh. Here's the story as heard on the news today.
NXS guitarist Tim Farris is suing a boat rental company over an accident which he says cost him his career. Farris's ring finger was severed by an anchor chain in the 2015 incident, leaving him unable to perform. Now the musician has taken the matter to the Supreme Court, suing the company for more than $750,000 for allegedly forcing the band into hiatus.
Has there been a finding?
No,
know he's suing them.
Yes.
And what a horrific accident.
But also a career ender because left hand as a guitarist, he can't...
When I hear stories like that, I go, why couldn't it have been Andre Rieu?
We know.
Oh no, I can't play the violin. Why couldn't it be Kenny G? Oh no,
you know,
I can't play the saxophone. Oh, clarinet, sorry.
Rick Allen, who was the drummer for Def Leppard, lost an arm.
He lost an arm.
But he still plays
and still plays drums today.
He plays spectacularly.
Maybe ways around it, Tim.
I don't know if
you play
it
with
is
your teeth.
With the guitar. I think it's very hard on the fingerboard to be.
Get a double fret. Get a double fret.
If your left finger, you need it to, you know. Play basic
get Jamie
stuff.
Lannister's hand. Oh, I've got that good episode. We've got that.
Oh, coming out. No.
God, not now.
I'm going to go a whole day
now.
Without it. Looks like we won't. Stand by for some Game of
Thrones.
All
right. Talk. Well, let's hear a finding on that. Yeah. I would have thought $750,000 would be cheap.
For a finger.
Oh, my Lord. All right. Coming back with more of Kennedy Malloy right
Reminds
after this.
Me a little finger.
Don't.
Little fingers, but.
A drive home that's pretty loose. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Another royal update.
Piers Morgan is the host of Good Morning Britain.
Yep.
And he's quite up himself. He was,
you know him from all those panels. He was like England's Got Talent.
He was a judge as well.
Judge, super judge.
He's super. One of those guys.
Conservative sort of commentator, isn't
yes,
he?
Yes, he is. Yeah. Pretty right-wing conservative commentator. But he's had it in for Meghan Markle from the get-go.
What's that about?
Well, he explains here what he thinks happened.
Because he really he takes every opportunity to...
Every time he goes...
He's almost leading the anti-Markle
100%,
charge.
Which is, you know, it's getting a bit out of control. Here's what he had to say recently.
I got to know her quite well over a two-year period. She said, I'm coming to London, can we meet up? And we went to my local pub. She said afterwards from her cab, I had such a great time and hope to see you again. And but she went in that cab that night to a party where Prince Harry was at. The next night, she went out on a date with him. I never heard from her again. And it showed me that she, I'm afraid, is probably a bit of a social climber. I'm afraid I see a bit of a hard-nosed actress who's been using people on her way up to what is now, of course, the top.
Someone's got a thin skin. Someone's got their nose out of joint.
I think she found out that you're actually a dickhead, Piers. I think this is the problem. Where she's gone home. Well, she's met Harry. She goes, oh, you'll never guess. I went to the pub with Piers Morgan, and Harry goes, oh, my God, stay away. He is a menace. He hates the royal family. He's shocking to us. And I think that's exactly what's happened. But
I had great fun watching Brett Lee bowl bouncers too. He famously came out and he was calling the English cricket team cowards for jumping out of the way. And Brett Lee said, I tell you what, facing over from me and I'll take your word for it. And to his credit, he did. He stood there and Brett Lee unleashed Mary Hill, of course. And
good on you, Brett.
He copped a couple.
He also went the US women's soccer team so disgracefully as well. He was just...
He wasn't good with them.
He wasn't. Now, here's another bizarre thing that's coming from the royals at the moment. Because this is Prince Harry, who's very PC.
Don't worry about Prince Harry.
The Duke of Sussex, and he's 34, remember this. He was in an interview with Dr. Jane Goodall, you know, the chimpanzee.
When they were greeting each other monkey style.
Yes, they pat each other on the head and they do monkey style hugs.
Shared a banana.
He said that Meghan and he, and also I would have thought this was very intimate private information, but he's told the world that they're only planning on having one more child after the birth of their son, Archie. He said, becoming a father has made him see the world differently, and the couple only want two maximum to help protect the environment. And there's British charity Population Matters, which he's backing. It's one of the leading campaigners on population control and has urged parents to, quote, stop at two.
So here's the deal. Why don't you dispose of one of your eight households?
Stop flying on your private jets for hens nights and baby showers.
Instead of trying to shame everyone else in the world, do you know what?
I can't stand that, how people telling you how many children to have.
But also, too, this guy, what happened to Nude Billiards?
I don't know. Where's Harry?
Harry, who used
was it Aspen? Where's Las Vegas Harry gone? Mm.
Las Vegas Harry. Harry, who used to go on all his royal visits to places like Cancun.
That's right.
Jamaica.
Mystique, I'm guessing.
Oh, well, I think he's got a house there. But, you know, that Harry, what happened to Carefree Harry? Now chastising, finger wagging.
You can't all of a sudden start doing
this.
It's his
wife, isn't it? She's his wife.
I don't know if it's her. I just think, I'm just over that stuff. Stop telling everybody what to do. All those people in those positions of authority.
Mind you, I wish Prince William had kept it to two.
Just don't like George.
I wish you'd take George out of the equation.
But really, Louis, you're not into him at all either.
Look, if I could dispose of both of them somehow.
Do you know an observation people made? Princess Charlotte, the little girl, has never been seen in pants. She's only ever in a dress. That's freaky. That's freaky. Just saying. Anyway, that's the end of royal news.
Well, you can't end like that.
I can. Go and have a look, everybody.
How old is she?
Three. But put the kid in some pants or some shorts, like most normal people.
Let the kids be free.
Kids are free. Why are you stressing her up in a little Laura Ashley dress?
Free balling at three.
Yeah,
it'll be a bit of fun. Bit of wind beneath the wings.
She should be free. And she's wearing a little uptight Peter Pan collar, prissy little dress to go and walk around.
Maybe the royal should keep it to under two. I honestly...
You're a proponent for this.
I'm on board.
Stop it too, everyone.
Kennedy Malloy.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy. Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Molloy.
Well, thanks to the HSV Series 2 Sports Cat.
Bang.
This is Kennedy Molloy.
I love the HSV Series 2 Sports Cat.
Me too.
It's right now, King of the Road. It's the big swinging dick.
It's a truck engineered for drivers who want to play hard, Mickey.
Well, if you want to muck around down the deep end, get yourself behind the wheel of the sports cat. It's got me thinking, you know, because driving in the sports cat would be great, but there's only certain songs you could drive to.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So I think
just
you're right.
Try anything. Dave?
Oh, something like...
Yes, buddy! I'm in the sports cat.
Yeah, turn it up.
Look and learn, boys.
Hey.
Hello, ladies.
What about you'd crank this one up in the sports cat, wouldn't you?
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire. Yeah.
Bit of Metallica.
Well, the Ford.
Imagine.
What's he driving?
Get
That's
out
a
of the
sports
way.
Cat.
Get out of the way, dude. I'm in the sports cat. Sports cat, buddy. You're not ready. Get to the back of the queue, boy.
And then Jane hops in and pops this one on.
But it's so versatile. No,
this is when you go parking with a bird.
Oh, yeah,
all right.
You go parking with a bird.
Hey, it is Australia's most dynamic 4x4, everyone. The sports cat V.
It's for the business. You've got to be the business. If you reckon you're open class, if you reckon you can handle
it. Don't muck around.
If you reckon if you're man enough, then you know where to get us. It's the HSV Series 2 Sports Cat.
Yeah.
It is the greatest achievement in automotive history. But
it's got the lot. Yeah. Got the lot, everybody.
Come on.
All right, hsv.com.au to get all the info on the sports cat.
A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Molloy.
Just about done for the day. Jane Kennedy, Mick Molloy here. This
what are you
is
doing
Kennedy
tonight, Jane?
Molloy.
What are you up to?
I'm going to watch a lot of shows.
Yeah, good for you.
I'll probably watch The Bachelor.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay, good luck.
Yeah. Well, what are you doing?
Oh, I'll probably pop on Game of Thrones.
What have I done?
Game of Thrones, season 4. I'm up to episode 7 because last night I watched episode 6.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? Oh, wow.
Yep.
It was all happening. Hey,
really?
One of the dragons got off the chain, attacked some goats. Burnt some
that
goats.
All?
All I can think of, oh, that goat would be good. That's crispy goat.
You like a bit of
I love a
crispy
bit of goat. A bit of goat curry. Dimitri's Feast.
Yes, you do
is,
love
is the
goat.
Restaurant to go to for that. And the dwarf is in court.
Tyrion.
Fighting for his life.
Tyrion.
Yep, he's in trouble. He's under the pump.
Oh, he's got to plead his case. Yeah, I know what happened.
Well, they're accusing him of killing Joffrey. He's denying it. Mm-hmm. And he's gotten into a right royal with old Cersei.
Oh.
What's her name? Cersei?
Yeah.
Yeah, Cersei, who's hot, by the way. That's all I'm looking for in a woman. Can I tell you this?
A sister who sleeps with her brother. A little bit of incest on the side never goes astray.
But if you can park that, the rest is pretty good. And then the dwarfs turned on her, saying, watch a vicious bastard of a son die. Gave him more relief than 1,000
lying horse. Oh, please, go on. I'm so interested.
Have a look tonight. You know, Dave, seven kingdoms.
Yeah.
Seven kingdoms.
Yeah. Hey, tomorrow Dave O'Neill's on the show.
Only one throne.
I'll look forward to that.
Who's going to sit on it?
Another premium selection of Kennedy Molloy. For a premium sports 4x4 range, check out the new Series 2 HSV Sports Cat with sports suspension, anti-roll bar and AP racing brakes. Play hard.